In relation to our morning exhortation, my brother has asked us to read from the book of John, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Now, let us give our attention to our brother Oscar Clendenning.
Thank you, Brother King. Good morning to you, brothers and sisters and friends indeed. I think I speak for my wife when I say, and I want to say this, for my heart, of course, and for myself, very, very sure that we have really enjoyed ourselves. I want to thank all of you for your attention to us and the way you've treated us. We of Texas, I wanted you to know I reported very well back in our area. It's really nice to be here and to ask, or to be asked to stand here and address you this morning, I'm thankful to. And I hope the message that I have for you will be something for you to take home with you, to ponder it in your hearts, because it is a message, and I hope I can give it to you to bring you as close to this scene as you've just heard, and to make yourself as one of those fishers, and especially as one of those fish, because the scene that we're going to see this morning is the passing from mortality to immortality. And I know this thing or two sometimes we kind of let slip, we kind of take it for granted, but turn with me, if you will, before we start, to the 11th chapter of Romans and verse 33 for just a moment, to kind of set the scene for what we have for you. Because God, in his great mercy for us, has not left us without every way of knowing his plan of salvation. But look how the Apostle Paul, looking into the depth of things, after he had given this great message here to the brethren at Rome in this letter, look how he begins to close this little scene right here. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Think of this, if you will. Apply it to ourselves, how we try to draw upon this as we delve into the Word each day, you know, and try to absorb our daily bread and digest it. Now turn with me, if you will, to John 6, verse 63. And here we have a message that I think is most interesting as we look at this scene this morning. And here our Master is speaking. John 6, verse 63. And here he says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." We know what quickeneth means. It means make alive, you know. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And that's what I want to bring to you in this message this morning. Our Master never lost a word. Everything that's brought out here, even the names themselves, have a meaning. And as we look at this scene, I'd like to just, you know, just plant yourself there, so to speak, and let's view this thing. Now turning to John chapter 21, I would like also for you to just turn to Luke, the 5th chapter, and hold it, if you will, as we are looking at this 21st chapter of John. The 5th chapter of Luke, and just hold it in your hand, because we're going to see another scene here. And it is a beautiful, natural scene. It's just as natural as can be. But the message that comes from it is so much greater. Turning back to John 21, the first verse, we read, "After these things Jesus shewed him again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed he himself." If all of you have noticed, and I'm sure you have, if you're looking here at the first verse of the 5th chapter of Luke, we have this sea here given to us in three names. It's the Sea of Galilee. Here John addresses it the Sea of Tiberias. And Luke called it, of course, the Lake of Gennesaret. But it's all in the same sea. But the amazing part of it is, in this verse right here in John, Tiberias has a different meaning. And it means the Sea of Turbulence. And it might be that some of you might want to write some of these things down. But the Sea of Turbulence, and there's some records of this sea, because these fishermen, a lot of times, were caught out fishing, the wind would come up immediately, very promptly on them, and they would wreck their ships at sea. And it was noted for this, and this name was given to it as the Sea of Turbulence. And now I'll apply this to you and I in the world today, because certainly the sea is recognized to us as the world, isn't it, in the Scriptures of truth. And let's just think of ourselves this morning on the Sea of Turbulence. And certainly we are, as we're in the world today. There is nothing that isn't turbulent around us. And we ourselves are in the boat, trying to row to shore, to safety, aren't we? And here we think of ourselves in our little ship, And we're rowing just as hard as we can and trying to get, as it were, to Capernaum, and that means village of comfort. And it was on this little, around this, one of the cities of the Sea of Galilee. And here we are, rowing, trying to get there. But here were the fishers there. And let's see what happens. There were together Simon Peter. Now keep in mind, this was the third time he was coming to them, our master. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. If you notice, there were seven in all. But only three names are given. And it's amazing what these three names mean. Because we know what Simon Peter means. It means a stone. And a stone is represented to us as what? The gospel. So here we have a stone or the gospel. Thomas means a twin. And Nathanael means given of God. So what do we have when we look at these three names? We have the gospel given to both Jew and Gentile. Given to the children of God. Now isn't this something? But there's four of us, but no names given. Why? Because their names wouldn't have brought the message out. Can we see how the Spirit, speaking through our master, he never loses a word. Now then, as we see this thing unveiled, look at verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Well, look at ourselves. Each of us. Do we feel like really in catching fish ourselves? I mean, can you say or can I say that we've actually brought anyone into the household? Do you remember what Paul told the brethren at Corinth in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians? When they were trying to take sides there, and some of them were taking with the palace, and some with Paul, and some with Cephas, what did Paul tell them? Well, he says, Apollos watered, or I sows the seed, I watered, but who calls the increase? God calls the increase. So you and I can't call anyone out. And that night, they caught nothing. And I want you to look at the scene as we turn back to the fifth chapter of Luke there just a second, the first five verses, and here we get a scene of something else. A beautiful thing. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, our master, of course, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. But all of you turn to Psalm 30 and 5 with me just a moment. I know there's so many people that remember this. Verse 4. think of ourselves as we toil through the night? And certainly we are. Tonight, this is the nighttime for us. Why? For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now as we keep this in our mind for a moment, and we turn back to John, if you will, we see the fourth verse. But when the morning was now come, think of this, as we see mortality beginning to prepare itself for a move, Jesus stood on the shore, and what are we trying to do ourselves today? We're trying to get to shore, to safety. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And this is a scene, brethren, that could catch a lot of us if we're not looking up. This is a great message to us right here. Not that it's just given to fill the pages right here. Here is a great message. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? What is the scene or what is the question going to be when we stand before our righteous judge? What have we done to accomplish the purpose of which we set out to do? Have you any meat? They answered him, No. And I'm certain here it was a shocking word. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find it. Now there's a great message here too, because I want to turn back with you to the fifth chapter of Luke for just a second. You notice in the fourth chapter there, he had told Peter to let down the net. Peter had said we'd fished all night and caught nothing. The sixth verse of the fifth chapter of Luke says, And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now I want you to look at this. Their net brake. Now when we catch a multitude of fishes, the scene that is brought to us here is out of the world, of the sea here, a great multitude of disciples were taken in. But there was a lot of those disciples that didn't want to get in the net. They didn't want to get caught. So they flounced and they flounced and they broke the net and they got out of that net. Because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life was too great. They didn't want to be trapped in a net. Turn me back into the world where I can have and swim around and enjoy myself. The net break. But over on the other scene, we're going to see something else. But the seventh verse says, And they beckoned unto their partner. Look at the scene of the followers here, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now just think of what a multitude of multitudes will be called up here. And this is the scene. As we turn back to John now, if you will, we see in the sixth verse again, And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find it. Well, why didn't he say cast it on the left side? Or why didn't he say throw it on both sides? But from what side of the ship will the righteous ones go in? From what side of our righteous judge will we, the ones pass who have done his will? Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And look at this thing. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, can you see this? See the followers here of whom he loved. Saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish's coat about him. Now, fish's coat, I might say right here, was a vesture. And working as they worked with their commercial fishing, they were naked from their waist up. And this was a vesture that he was without. But still, he was uncovered as far as a bodily covering. So what is represented to us here, I think, is in Psalms 32 and 1. And what does it say? Can anyone quote it? Blessed is he whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And certainly Peter got himself, I mean, as we think of the gospel word and the message that's brought to us, each of us who receives it, and in the appointed will, of course, we are in this condition. So Peter put it on him, and the 8th verse, and the other disciples came in a little ship. Now, if you'll notice, there were two ships in the first scene. Whose do you think is represented to us as the other disciples? The first scene, I feel, is represented to us in the Jewish house. In other words, God has taken out of the Jews a people for his name. As James says in Acts 15, he's now taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name. So we see the two places, as we saw up here in the second verse, the twin, both Jews and Gentiles, we see the two ships represented here. And here, of course, is represented to us as this ship coming in. And they were just 200 cubits, which is about 100 yards out from land. Now, as Peter went out, as they were dragging this net in this, look at verse 9, if you will. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. We noticed that all of them had come to land. There was a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and dead. What do we think of? What's preparing right here? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Just now, look at this preparation as this thing gets ready. Look at it. Verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up. Why didn't he send someone else? But look at the strength of this thing, of the power behind the word. And drew the net to land full of great fishes. Here was the dividing point. Over there the net broke because there was all kinds of fishes in it. That is, there was a lot of, they were all, had made a covenant, but not all wanted to stay. But look at these. They were great visions. And if you remember, as we read yesterday, and a lot of us were here, and some other time, John 20 and 12 says that there were two classes there as they come before the throne of God, the little ones and the great ones. And here we have the great ones. The great ones are caught here, full of great fishes, and 153. And let me say something. This is the only place in the Scriptures of Truth where this number is mentioned. Amazing, isn't it? But there's something else behind this number. And it's such an amazing thing. But the only place in the Scriptures where this number is mentioned is here. And it says, "And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken." There didn't any of them order, did they? They certainly did. Why was this number so important in the Scriptures of Truth? It's just amazing, really. Because, let me tell you something, and some of you, all of us, I guess, had probably known. But our Scriptures is written, of course, in the Greek and the Hebrew languages. And these are the only two languages in the world that each letter of the alphabet has a numerical value. In other words, A is 1, B is 2. It's not that way, but I mean using it this way. The only two languages in the world. The Latin language has 6 letters that has a numerical value. I can put them on the board for you very quickly. But we even see them on our clocks, and all of us are acquainted with the Roman numerals, aren't we? But if you want to just go with me, there's 6 letters. And just think of this number, 6 in itself, as the number of flesh. But all of us recognize it. D is 500. What's a C note? 100, isn't it? L note's 50. X is 10. V is 5. I is 1. Who added that up? 666. Does anyone recognize that number? Even their own alphabet identifies them. And today, you and I have something given to us here in the Scriptures of Truth which cannot be mistaken. And just think for a moment. Here's the Greek, if you will, alphabet. The sum of it is 4,600 and something. I thought it had it in it last night. I've forgotten just exactly. I have a book of it. But the Greek alphabet, in its sum of 27 letters in the Greek alphabet, and there were 4,600 and something. In the Hebrew alphabet, there's 24 letters. And the sum of those is 3,995, I believe. So when we take those letters and we look at 153, this number, the most amazing thing happens. Because the sum of that number in both languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, the sum of the sons of God. They're not the same letters, of course, or the same names, but the numerical value of the sons of God is 153 in both languages. Strange as it may seem. So what do we think of when we look at this verse? What did Peter really catch? What did he bring to land and to safety? Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. The sons of God came with him. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Think of this thing. Jesus saith unto them, what? Look at these words as they fit. What is he going to say to the house of the sons of God? Come and dine. Can there be any mistake of this great natural scene? And none of the disciples, and we know disciples means followers of Christ, durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. And I want you to look at this next verse. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. But in what time period will he reveal himself to the followers? Won't it be in the third heaven? So you and I, as we prepare ourselves today for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and as we entered our little ships and the day we went into the waters of baptism, we began to row, to cross the sea, and to battle those waves that we encountered, and trying in our utmost to reach the city of comfort, and as it were here, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you.